Let's do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Never get married. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, and a crew. I'm coming to you live from the Empowerment Studios. We got Dr. Bruce in the house, Brother George with the Willie Lynch and Quantum segment, and we're going to have a discussion about hospital. Join us. We're live. And we're ready. And there is no better love than for self and kind. No greater love. Brothers and sisters, welcome. There is no greater love. There is no better love than for self and kind. And that means a lot, right? For African Americans, descendants of the Africans who were enslaved in America and even in the diaspora, there is no greater love than for self and kind, because that love was lost through the conditioning, through chattel slavery, through creating dysfunction and turmoil within our lives and within our communities. And then that functioning allowed us to be dysfunctional with each other, creating a form of self-hate that we're continuing to work to eradicate within ourselves. And so as we begin to examine ourselves and our ways and our lives, we have to do an introspection of being able to look at oneself deeply to see what it is that's entrenched within you that causes your behavior, your thought patterns, and the methods and the ways in which we conduct ourselves toward one another as we function in this culture and society. So we're asking one another to do an examination, a thorough examination of self, right? The value systems that we use, right? And then use as what Brother Stan says, direction for direction, to really look at ourselves and how we can redirect our behavior, that we can get back in front of the behaviors of our children and our communities, where we can feel safe wherever we are. There's nothing wrong with that. How can we begin to do the examination and then the redirection or the correction for direction that we begin to love ourselves and one another again? How do we pose this with so much going on, right? With so much technology and so much striving for survival that we begin to think about how the lost value system is creating turmoil and chaos within our families and our communities. And so as we look at ourselves, we have to be able to decide some things, right? We're proposing that there's a model for peace, right, that we utilize to structure ourselves in a way in which we begin to regain some ground or some traction to help us to develop ourselves once again. So I'll go through the tenets of the peace model right now. Our peace, political agenda, to be able to look thoroughly and deeply at ourselves on a political level that begins to teach us how to understand the European American system for capitalism and politics, right? Using a political model and understanding the political system and how it works, understanding the laws and how it works, and then we can navigate around the system so we can stay out of the way of the laws which are created for the most part to incarcerate us and subjugate us, right? Now that we are aware of that, now that we know the cheese is on the trap, let's use a different tool for sustenance, right? The tools are out there for us to now navigate the system. How do we do that? We have to understand the system and navigate around it. Economic, to create an economic agenda, to utilize economic platforms that work for us, to create institutions that define our own reality, to understand capitalism and how it works, money management and how it works, and have a fiscal sound system for understanding how these tools can be utilized to create institutions that define our own reality, schools, daycares, libraries, colleges, universities, corporations, you name it. And that is the way that we can begin to employ our people who are coming out of universities with no job, that you put 4 years or 5 years or 6 years into your education and you have to get a job at McDonald's or Macy's. No, if we begin to create the tools and the systems and the structures, then we can use our educated, our most educated, what Du Bois says as the talented tenth, to begin to structure systems, to begin to help us create tools for structure, to help us to employ and then develop those systems that will allow a community to redevelop itself. Is the A, right? This is an individual piece. You have to be able to look at your health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You have to look at your mental health, physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. You have to make sure that you are well and you are healthy, both physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and culturally, right? And that means that you got to do the work. You got to push away from the table, the processed foods, the salt and the sugar, and then take the mental health approach toward reducing stress that impacts your physical body and your mental health as well. We have to do a better job of taking care of ourselves. Then next is the C. Relevant cultural programs like this one to educate us, to give us confidence in who we are, chin up, chest out, that we can be proud of who we are, and we pass this on to the next generation. The work has to be done by us to fulfill the work that needs to be done within our lives. And we're going to have to do the work of educating our young people, getting the information to them, not depending solely on the systems in place to educate our kids, but we're going to have to do that from a community-based grassroots approach. Lastly is a comprehensive education that really looks at all of these elements and more, putting it together so that we can begin to define and redefine ourselves so that we won't be outside looking in, but we can create those institutions and those realities that function well for us and put us in a better place. And now, for the Stan Macklin moment, join us, www.naaea.weebly.com. And if you don't know, Stan Macklin is my friend, and he's passed on, but his words continue to live on with us. Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we
just
got
love
the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Brother Stan is right. You stop trying to get in to fit in and start creating your own, right? There are communities around the world that are self-sustaining that we can utilize models to be able to help us to create communities that support one another, that create love, that creates a system, right, of working together in the community. And it works. It really does. And so we have to do the work of working on ourselves, but we have to be able to do that by working together. And it's so important that we do that. So continue to commit to doing the work, but start with working on yourself as well. And now, my favorite part of the show is the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. Brother George. Oh, yeah. Bring it, Brother George.
Bring it. What?
Come on. Rock with me. I see you out there rocking. Brother George, how are you?
Doing fine, brother, and I am rocking.
Let's ride, baby. Let's ride.
Yes, sir. Today's Kwanzaa principle is UJIMA, collective work and responsibility, to build and keep our community together, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems, and to solve them together. UJIMA, shaped to represent an enclosed and secure compound house. This is a symbol of safety and security, brotherhood and solidarity. It reminds us the inner sense of security that comes from being a valued and respected part of our community. UJIMA. Now today, the topic of discussion within the title, to some it might be a confusing phrase there, or why is it necessary to say white European? Well, today I'm going to read from a book that's called The Negro Rulers of Scotland and the British Isles. It's by Dr. John L. Johnson. He says that the first man whom the Ethiopians and Egyptians called Atam, the Hebrews, Adam, the Christians, Adam, was created on the continent of Africa. He and his African wife had sons and daughters whom multiplied the earth. They settled on all continents with the exception of the Antarctic, and islands and were historically described as a dark-skinned giant and pygmy people. The Italian G. Sergi, in his book called Mediterranean Race, A Study of the Origin of the European People, called the early settlers of Europe Your African, on page 1901. Sergi and other world-renowned anthropologists proved the Nordic race to be of the Eurafric species, claiming that the European people had originated in Africa itself. The United Kingdom, Scotland, Britain, and Wales, and Ireland were originally settled by a dark-skinned giant and pygmy people. Jean Fanon, in his book called Race Prejudice, on page 99, says, the pride of Europe is only a direct fruit of the Negro race. Ellen Churchill, in her book called The Influence of Geographic Environments, page 121, says, the long head of Northern Europeans is regarded now by ethnologists as a short of the headed brunette Mediterranean race African origin, with bleached out under the pale sun of which bleached out under the pale sun of the Scandinavian sky. Sir H. H. Johnson, in his article called Interracial Problems, the actual fact that thousands of years ago a Negroid race had penetrated Europe through Italy and France, leaving traces until the present day of the people of southern Italy, Sicily, southern and western France, even in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. In other words, there's a foundation for why Dr. Bridges used the term white European, because what he's going to talk about today is things that were influenced, the holidays that were influenced by people through white Europeans. So I just wanted to start out, you know, this wonderful lecture by giving that piece of information. And Brother Marvin, if you have nothing else for me, then we can move on to Dr. Bridges or the question of the week.
Well, you know what's coming next, brother. Thank you for asking. It is now the empowerment question of the week. And the question of the week is education. Why is it so important that we re-educate our people or recapture our African minds? Why is it so important, Brother George?
Well, the major reason is the same thing that Dr. Carter G. Woodson said. Sometimes education is a process of what you push out or what you unlearn versus what you're taught. And so we need to unlearn a lot of things that have been taught about us and about other people because it's not accurate information. And so that re-education process is very necessary for us to do at this point in time. So that's my response, bro.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate you. Great work. And again, what's the name of that book? Brother George?
Yeah, did I lose 4 minutes?
Yeah, what's the name of that book?
Oh, the name of the book. Hold on just a second.
I got you.
Just a
it's
second.
Worth waiting for, y'all.
Okay, the
you
name
might want
of
to
the
get
book
you a copy.
Is The Negro Rulers of Scotland and the British Isles by Dr. John L. Johnson.
Thank you, Brother George. It is now
yes,
up
sir.
To you to do the research. That's why education is so important. In the component and in the concept, education is so important because it leads you back home. When you know who you are, you see the world from a different perspective. And so during our online classroom series and segments, we're going to continue to educate you, provide you information, and then you can go do the research. Before you get mad, before you get angry, just go on and read and look it up and decide for yourself, is the information accurate? As Dr. Bruce, our resident historian, comes through today, take some notes, get your pads, pencils, tablets out, right, and take down some notes, and then go research for yourself. Go do the homework and then call back or get on Slido and then decide for yourself. But don't get mad. Get understanding, right? And the word says get wisdom and all things get understanding. So we're educating you. We're offering the tools. The brother is reading from books, right, that give us information. But if we choose to read and learn, then we can improve ourselves and our community. All right. 845-277-9250 is the number to call today. Slido is live in effect. It's 1-1-9-5-3-6. Slido, if you can get in over there. The number again is 1-6-1-9-5-3-6. Coming up later on in the show, we're going to have a social commentary with Brother Reg because he has something to say. But we're going to get on over to Dr. Bruce and let him put things in motion. Y'all got to get ready. Buckle up today because this one is going to be a good one. Let me bring him in, right? Oh, yeah. Come on, Dr. Bruce. It's time to roll. Oh, yeah. Thank you for listening.
Bring it. What? Right
here. Bring it on in here, Dr. Bruce. Going nowhere till you finish today. We right here. Welcome to the show, brother.
All right. Hotep, brother. Thank you for... inviting me, Brother Marvin. Thank you very much. Hotep. Hotep to you and to all your guests today. And assalamu alaikum to some of the brothers and habari gani. Since it's that season coming up for Kwanzaa, we use that greeting too. And all these greetings are out of the culture and heritage of African people. So thank you very much for having me as a guest today, Brother Marvin. And as you said, I hope our listeners will have their pens and papers or pads or whatever they're doing on or computers so they can follow me. And if you have a copy of my book, you might want to grab a copy of my book, Recapturing the African Mind, at this time because I'm going to be using some things out of my book, Recapturing the African Mind, for the time that we're here today. And since this particular time of the year is the so-called holiday season, I'd like to put some things in perspective and talk about some of the holidays that we celebrate, and especially the one that's coming up and how it relates to us as people, and just clarify some things because there are a lot of things that are just unclear to us. And the reason there's a lot that's unclear to us is because we were put in a situation in America and were purposely confused and purposely lied to and purposely not taught a proper knowledge of self and others on purpose. Oftentimes we don't know it, but the controllers and manipulators of society very shrewdly make sure that we don't get the knowledge that we need so that we can move forward as a people. So in my teaching and in my discussions, I try to see to it that we can transform our thinking. And once we transform our thinking, Brother Marvin, Brother George, we can also transform our actions. But if we cannot transform our thinking, then our actions will not ever be anything that will be beneficial to us. So that's a very important point. We need to transform our thinking, and then our actions will be transformed. All right, which leads me into our current discussion. I'm not talking today about the Israeli-Palestinian war that's going on. I am going to mention, before I talk about the information in my book today in terms of the holidays, I want to just mention that I think the last time I was on, I discussed what's going on in West Africa with the countries of Mali and Chad and Burkina Faso and the countries of Guinea and also the country of Gabon. So to those who are following it, I know oftentimes people pull out maps. You might want to take a look at that. That's what's going on in the Sahel region of Africa, the Sahel, S-A-H-E-L, which really is a term that means the desert region of Africa. It's between the Sahara to the north, is the Sahara to the north of the Sahel, and to the south of the Sahel is the savanna area of Africa. So that Sahel region, which is really a desert region, is where most of these African countries are becoming independent. And in accordance with my book, Recapturing the African Mind, the young president of Burkina Faso, Ibrahim Traore, 35 years of age, did a lecture not too long ago, maybe a couple of days ago, and he spoke to the college in Burkina Faso, to the college students and teachers. And he made this particular statement, which made me think about our discussion for today. And he said that our colonizers have, and first of all, let me make it clear, the colonizers, just to make sure everyone understands, some people may say, well, I already know that. Well, that's fine. You get a little bit more, get it again. But when we look at the origin of the word colony, comes from the word colon, as I've taught on before. That word colon comes from the human body, because the colon is an extension of the large intestine. It's called the colon. Some of you, we go to the hospital, we get a colonoscopy, get the colon cleaned out. So we know what goes through the colon, the food that we eat, and et cetera. But the colony, in the same way that the colon is the extension of the large intestine in the human body, the colony, or the colony, as we call it on Earth, is an extension of what actually goes on in the mother country. And in this particular instance that we are discussing today, the mother country of all of those African countries that I mentioned is France. France controls all those countries that I just mentioned, where those areas in Africa have been taken over by military leadership. France is under control of all those countries because France colonized those countries, or they made those particular land masses in Africa a part of her dominion, you see. So, which means now that if you are a colony, or colony, if you want to say it that way, but if you are a colony, or if you are an extension of France in this case, that means in all of your schools in these countries that I mentioned in West Africa, I mentioned Burkina Faso, I mentioned Gabon, I mentioned Chad, I mentioned Mali, and I also mentioned Guinea. In all of those countries, they speak the French language. Also, in all of those countries, the books that they use come from France. Everything and it's put into context with is French. They celebrate the French holidays. They have streets in their countries named after French leaders. They wear French clothing. They wear French cologne, Pierre Cardin probably, or Oscar de la Renta, or whatever the others may be. But everything is French in those five African countries because the French nation of Europe conquered and colonized those countries and brought them under her power. So I hope I made that clear. And of course, sometimes around the top of the hour or thereabouts, a little after maybe, we're going to hear from you if you have any questions or comments about this lesson. And feel free to do that. I always like to hear from our listening audience. So that's what the colony is. So in the colony or in the colony, you have the same thing occurring that goes on in the so-called mother country. And in this case, it is indeed France. Now, in Burkina Faso, the young leader that I mentioned, Ibrahim Traoré, just recently evicted the French from his country. Evicted the French military, said we don't want the French military in our country anymore. We don't want any French troops at all in our country anymore. And not only are we evicting your military, but we are evicting, we're taking back our contract agreements that you had with us from stealing our gold, our uranium, our cobalt. We're taking all of that back, and we're going to be self-sufficient now and stand on our own. And that's what's happening in Burkina Faso. Now, what makes this quite a calamity for France is it's not only happening in Burkina Faso, but it's also happening in those other four countries that I mentioned because they have organized now and they have said that if you come against one of us, you come against all of us. So to those who are tuned in who might not understand what I'm saying, this is a tragedy for France. When Africa begins to organize, it is a tragedy for whatever colonizing country has their foot on the necks of these African countries. It's a tragedy. You see, they have organized. And as I said before, I have not forgotten my point. When Brother President Ibrahim Traoré spoke at his alma mater, University of Ouagadougou, which you can look up. I look it up on your own. Look up Burkina Faso. It'll come. That's the capital city. The spelling's kind of difficult. I can't remember the spelling now. But anyway, you'll see it's the capital city of Burkina Faso. He spoke at the University of Ouagadougou, the capital of Burkina Faso, and he said to the young students, he said that our colonizers lied to us. They told us that when we eat the croissants, and those of you, even in this country, we know what the croissants are. We have them for breakfast sometimes with a little butter on them and the soft, what I call them the accordion-shaped buns, breakfast rolls or buns, the croissants. But, of course, that's a French delicacy. Now, so Captain Ibrahim Traoré said that the croissants that you eat, we were told by our colonizers, since we import them from France, that the reason we import them is because we can't produce wheat. He said, that's a lie. We can produce wheat. They lied to us so that we could think that we could not produce wheat to make our own products so that we would be dependent upon them, as he explained to the young students at Burkina Faso. And then he went further on to speak about the candies that they eat, the chocolate, which comes from the cocoa or the cacao bean. He explained to the students that when you eat your treats or your sweets or your chocolate, France told us that we can't grow cocoa because of our Sahel or our desert geography here in this area. But, he says, that's also a lie. We can indeed grow cocoa. He says, so I'm going to teach you, as president of this country, to become graduates of this school and to take whatever talents that you have back to, or bring it back to your own country if you go somewhere to become educated, bring it back to build your own country up. And when I heard that, I said, that's quite good teaching. And it reminds me of how I have always thought, and I've also followed that particular principle myself. Anytime any of us as people, as Africans here in America, anytime, or indigenous people in America, whatever you consider yourself, but root being Africa, whatever it is that we have to offer, we should indeed try our level best to bring it back to our people and to our communities. If you're going to be a preacher, you should try to preach from an Afrocentric perspective. Preach about the things that's going on in your community. Preach about things that can cause your people to be well-fed and not to be hungry mentally. Raise your people up. If you're on a job in corporate America, if you have a chance to slide another brother or sister in to where they could make some money or better themselves or their lives or for their family, try to do that. Wherever you are, if you're a judge on the bench, if you're a lawyer, whatever it is that you do, try to at least bring your particular knowledge or expertise to the minds of your people and try to raise them up. And this is what Ibrahim Traore was saying. And another thing that they're doing in Burkina Faso and these West African countries, and that is they're beginning to take down statues of French leaders that they have in their country. They're changing the names of some of the streets, avenues, and boulevards that are named after French heroes, and they're giving them African names. So they're recapturing the African mind. They've never seen my book, as far as I know, but they're doing what I'm talking about in my book, because the minds and the whole being, the whole self of Africans in those countries that I mentioned under the French are Frenchified. They have become black French. And Ibrahim Traore and brother who is the president of Guinea, a strong Muslim brother, president of Guinea, he's doing the same thing in Guinea. And military leadership in Gabon is doing the same thing. As a matter of fact, they had the former president in Gabon under house arrest, and the French tried to get them to release him from house arrest, but they're not doing it. They haven't harmed him, but he is under house arrest, and his country has been taken over. But he was a puppet for France. So the French want him in power, because when they have a puppet in power, then that puppet will allow them, meaning the French in this case, their puppet will allow them, once they pull his strings, they will, or her strings, they will allow him or her, that puppet will allow the French to come in and to rob the country of its gold, rob the country of its uranium, rob the country of its cobalt, rob the country of its coal and its oil, and then take it back to France. And Traore and the other brothers who are the leaders of those other four West African French colonized countries said, it's over. You're out of here. We are not allowing it anymore. So how does this relate to the holidays that we're talking about today? I haven't forgotten my point. All of this is quite relative. It relates. It relates because when you are a colonized people, then your mind become the mind of the colonizer. Let me repeat that. When you are a colonized people, or if you are a colonized person as an individual, your mind is not your own mind. Your mind is the same mind of the colonizer. There's a book called The Colonizer and the Colonized by Albert Memmi, M-E-M-M-I, The Colonizer and the Colonized. And he talks about this. Everything that you do, you do it in the same way that your colonizer does it. Everything that you say it in the same way that he says it. You speak like him. You walk like him. You talk like him. You dress like him. And what else do you do? You celebrate the holidays that he gave you, because you are a replica of your colonizer. Now, I hope you all are listening. Hope you're getting something out of this. I'm just kind of coming off the facts for a minute and just hope you're with me, because I'm trying to make this very clear. And it reminds me also of a lecture I did many years ago when I was doing my radio program in Durham, North Carolina. I did a lecture called African Americans Made into a Brand New People. African Americans Made into a Brand New People. And I remember saying that if you put your hand down the back of our neck and our collars of our shirts or our blouses or our coats, you'll see Made in the USA. And that's what happened to you and me as a people. Same thing. And my dear brother and one of my heroes who's gone on now to the ancestors, Brother Huey Newton, used to talk about it that way with the Panther Party. He would talk about how we are really a colony within a colony. America was a colony of the British, but we as African-American people are a colony within this colony, you see. And he was absolutely right about that. And so he was trying to throw off the shackles of colonialism with the Black Panther Party. But be that as it may, when we understand what happens, then we can correct our actions. Excuse me for a minute, Heather. Yeah. All right. Now, I have seen this myself on a personal level. I had the opportunity several years ago to travel to a French colony in West Africa. I went to Togo. I also went to Benin, went to those in West Africa, and I also had a chance to visit another French colony in the islands of the Caribbean. And that particular colony is called the country of Guadeloupe. Guadeloupe, the island of Guadeloupe, is a French colony in the Caribbean. Because what you have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that these European countries, and not just the French, I'm talking specifically about the French today, but the same thing that I'm talking about with the French, it goes for the British, it goes for the Spanish, it goes for the Portuguese down in Angola, it goes for all of these countries that these European nations have conquered and have brought under their wing. So the French also own, even today, the country of Guadeloupe in the island of the Caribbean. And I had a chance to visit Guadeloupe. And by the way, Guadeloupe is the home, I think, unless you know, I think she's from Martinique, the home of the black man by the name of Napoleon Bonaparte. Now, the movie is out, and I know you all know it, but we won't get into that right now. That's another thing that colonialism does. It will take the heroes and the well-known people, whether they were heroes or not, or people who have made contributions to their societies who may have been people of African descent, and they will recolor those people and make them European in their pictures, in their descriptions, and in everything. But oftentimes when you do the proper research, you can find, as I have found, about Napoleon Bonaparte, that he was not the white man that they have on the pictures of the movie that they're making right now today. But Napoleon Bonaparte was what they call swarthy, which means he's a dark-complexioned man who married a dark-complexioned woman named Josephine, who was from the island of Martinique. And the island of Martinique was a French-speaking, or is a French-speaking island in the Caribbean, you see. So that's another story, brothers and sisters and listeners today, for another time. But to those who want to pursue it and look into it, it's not a problem. You can do that. But I didn't go to Martinique, but I had a chance to go to Guadeloupe. And in my book, on page 150, to those who are who have my book, as I said before, I want you to pull out a copy of my book, because I'm going to be using some things from the book. I talk about my experience in Guadeloupe. And I talk about the fact that while, and I'm reading from my book now, while, and I probably have done it before, but even though you're getting a review today, if you heard it the last time I was on, but while visiting the small Caribbean island of Guadeloupe, which was colonized by the French, I had a discussion with an African cab driver at the airport. We were discussing his vacation time, and I proceeded to inquire about where he might travel for his vacation. He said that his plans were to travel to France. The cab driver spoke the French language. He was trained in French history, literature, music, and the like. Moreover, he enjoyed French wine, clothing, and food, and even owned a little French poodle. Colonialism something, brothers and sisters. That's not in the book. That's me. Colonialism something else. Okay, back to the book. For all practical purposes, he was a Frenchman. My question to him was, have you ever thought about going to Africa? And I'll never forget this, brothers and sisters. The precise answer by the cab driver was that Africa was too far. I continue in the book. An examination of a world map would reveal, if you all are who are listening to me now, if you have a map and look at the map and find Guadeloupe on the map and find Africa on the map, you'll see this. Back to the book now. An examination of a world map would reveal, contrary to the cab driver's assumption, France is actually further away from Guadeloupe than Africa. Imagine that. Now, I repeat. France is actually further away from Guadeloupe than Africa. The problem, of course, is that in the minds of many Africans, Africa has been placed so far away that they think it is impossible to reach. It is also clear, while socializing in Guadeloupe, that many of the French colonizers had married into the African families so that the control was still in the hands of France. And I noticed this, brothers and sisters, away from the book for a minute. I noticed this, that the French colonizers married into the families of the French because that's a control mechanism. We went to a party while I was in Guadeloupe, and I saw a Frenchman, and white Frenchman, and I was wondering who he was, and then I saw black people at the party, and they said, some of the black people said, well, that's my uncle, or that's my sister's wife or husband. So they married into the French so that if you began to rise up or to cause some kind of revolt to free yourself, then you'd have to get rid of some of your relatives. So they marry or assimilate directly into the families of black people so that they can protect themselves and protect their resources and can protect the colony, because you would have a hard time if you are a black person and your sister is married to a white Frenchman. You'd have a hard time in a revolt rising up against him. You see, just to give an example. Back to the book. France's colonial empire extended from Senegal eastward to Chad in Africa and south to the Congo. In France, all roads lead to Paris, and in Africa and the islands, all roads lead to France. French institutions and French culture were the order of the day. Just to give you an idea now and to make it clear what this colonialism is and why we need to recapture our minds and get our own minds back and begin to think for ourselves. And this is what reminds me of what Brother George said, Brother Marvin, about Carl G. Wilson. Carl G. Wilson said, the Negro has been taught to admire the Greek, the Teuton, and the Latin, and to despise the African. Been taught to admire everything but ourselves. That's because we don't have our right minds. Now, the holiday season that are upon us right now. First of all, I'm not going back into it, but I do want to mention, as I mentioned last time I was on, we, of course, when I say we, just using it generally, of course, everybody doesn't. But when we do, most of us do just to have a good meal and to be with our families. But Thanksgiving, and I call it Thanks-taking, we're actually disrespecting the indigenous people of this part of the world, the indigenous people of America, who are people of dark complexion. The indigenous people were dark complexion. The so-called Indians were dark-skinned people. I want to make that clear. We are the indigenous people. Look at the pictures of the Wampanoags and the Pequot, so-called Indians, up in Massachusetts and Connecticut, and you'll understand what I'm saying. But when we celebrate a holiday such as Thanksgiving, these were holidays where many of these indigenous black people who look like us were killed, land was taken, they were hurt, the culture was destroyed, and everything. So if you really want to be on the side of the indigenous people, which is the right side for the oppressed of the world, then you would be on the side of the so-called Indians as opposed to the Pilgrims and the Puritans. But because of colonialism and because our minds have been taken away from us and because we operate out of Eurocentric white European minds, and I noticed, Brother Marvin, that when you sent out the ad, you said I'd be discussing white Europeans, and that was absolutely right. And the reason I said white Europeans is because I have discovered through my research, and I'm still doing some, I have discovered we use the term European very, very loosely. And when you hear European, or when I hear European even, we immediately think of white people. But we as students and people who are learning and growing, we have to understand now as we are learning that when you say European, you have to qualify. You mean a white European or black European, because we have discovered that all of Europe was black from the beginning. Another story for another time. I'm talking about Spain. I'm talking about Portugal, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about France, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Germany, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Russia, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Turkey, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Denmark, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Sweden, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Switzerland, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Norway, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Ireland, Scotland, Wales. All of those countries of Europe were countries, inhabited by dark-skinned people that changed over time, which is another story for another lot of lectures on National African American Empowerment Program with Brother Marvin. But I just want to make that real clear. So we have to qualify when we say European. Do you mean white European or black European? The reason that we celebrate the holidays and we celebrate Thanksgiving, as I always say, is because we were given this information on the plantation. As we said before, part of our indoctrination was for us to become completely Americanized in this country or completely white Europeanized in this country. And that's why in the mornings, if you're late for the bell at 8:30 when you're going to school and that Star Spangled Banner's on, you got to stop walking down the hall. You got to stop in your tracks to respect the Star Spangled Banner. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming and all that, all those other things that we say. But then you say what? I pledge my allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Then it goes on what you'll do and how you'll fight and die for this country. All of that, brothers and sisters, is a part of us being indoctrinated into working for and on behalf of our colonizers and our oppressors, as opposed to us working for ourselves. And it's the same thing that happened in West Africa, and that they're beginning to get rid of it. And as we begin to get rid of these holidays and say, well, you can have them back, they're not ours, then that will show that we'll begin to become independent. You see, as we said before, the colon is an extension of the large intestine. So sometimes we have to cut it out and become independent. Now, on page 201 in my book, the section called Internalization of European Traditions and Holidays, I'm reading directly from the book, Observations and Experience with the Daily Activities of African People in America and also in other parts of the world show that they are indeed out of their minds, or we are indeed out of our minds. I should have had my book. According to Malefi Asante, in Afrocentricity, his book, page 104, 500 years of constant propaganda, cultural exploitation, information distortion, and physical annihilation have left the African world shocked out of its own historical reality and purpose in the world. Other writers, and I'm still reading page 202, other writers such as Frantz Fanon, Jean-Paul Sartre, Albert Memmi, who I mentioned earlier, and Amos Wilson, good brother going on to the ancestors, echoed the same sentiment. And then I continue. An examination of the actions of African people on certain dates of the year exemplify the effects of mind destruction perpetuated by church and school. Due to total devastation, there is no discussion of where black people fit into these holidays and celebrations. Examples of the calendar year activities of the victims, meaning you and me, are as follows. Then I started talking about New Year's Day, but before I go back to the book, I did want to mention, too, that when I was teaching at North Carolina Central University, and also when I taught at St. Augustine's College in Raleigh, North Carolina, and also when I taught at NC State University in Raleigh, North Carolina, when we would get out of school for Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving or for Christmas, and especially Thanksgiving, I would make it very simple in Thanksgiving. African people came to America on slave ships, even though we were here before then, but just for a point of reference, came to America on slave ships in the year of 1619, that's the year that we're given. That's the project that Sister Nicole Jones is talking about, the 1619 project. But 1619 is our date for arrival in Virginia in this country. Now, the first Thanksgiving, if you look it up, brothers and sisters, was held in 1621. So you do the math. 1619, you're on the slave ship. 1621, do you really think he would sit down at a table in the woods and forest or somewhere or some open area outside eating turkey, cranberry sauce, sweet potato pies, and marshmallows? Do you think you're eating macaroni and cheese with the conquerors and the colonizers 2 years later after you've been brought here? So this is why a lot of this is very simple. Look at where you fit into the history. When you look at any incident, this is another key for studying history. When you're studying any particular situation or any particular incident, say to yourself, well, where am I? Or where was I? Or where was my people when this was going on? Should I be doing this or should I be doing that? Or should I be on this side or should I be on that side? Oftentimes, we don't know what side to be on because, as John Henry Clark said, and as I recall saying last time I was on this particular program, we don't have the compass. We don't know which way north is. We don't know which way south is. We don't know which way to go and say that we're going eastward. We don't know which way to go west, you see. So if you don't have the compass, you don't know which way to go, you're out buying turkeys, and there's nothing wrong with buying a turkey. I'm not saying that, so please don't say that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. But you can eat one anytime you want to. You don't have to wait till somebody tell you to do that. That's another thing, too, brothers and sisters, about colonialism. When you are in the colony or when you have the mind of your conqueror, then he knows all of your actions. He knows what you're going to do on the third or fourth Thursday in November. He knows to bring the turkeys out. He knows what to do for you during Halloween time. He knows what you're going to do because he made you. He created you. He actually, as they say in the scripture of the Bible, I'm not a scholar of the Bible, not at all. Hopefully my brother Lafayette Maxwell is listening. But he made you. And what did he say? He made you, we were made in their own image. And as I think of scripture that talks about the potter's clay or the potter's son or something like that, how the potter, when he goes into making a formation of something, he'll take that wet clay. And the human brain, as W.D. Muhammad used to say, is like wet clay. And you can take that wet clay and shape it and form it and fashion it to make it any way you want to make it. And you can also even take items and throw up against that wet clay, and it'll stick to that wet clay because you're in that that formation stage in your life, you see. But we as people have to have strong minds and not allow people to shape and form our minds the way that they want to, because most times they're not going to be shaped and formed for our own benefit, you see. So I want to make that part clear. So we know, we don't have to even say, I'm just going back to my book here for a minute before I get to the Christmas for a few minutes here. January the 1st, I talk about in my book on page 202, due only to tradition, African people exclaim, Happy New Year. We sing Auld Lang Syne and we make resolutions. No thought is given to calendar date changes because the calendar was changed, but we don't know anything about that. No thought is given to our locations on earth or our historical origins of this celebration. Where did it come from? We just look into Watch Night. Study Watch Night. Study what the slaves did on the 31st of December and look at it from that particular point. In February, I'm going through the year now, how they have our minds all trained. They know what we're going to do whenever they put the calendars up. February 14th, Valentine's Day. African and African-American school teachers instruct children to cut out hearts designed on red construction paper. Some of y'all remember doing this. Cards and candies are exchanged by children as well as grown-ups on this day. Since the thinking processes of African people have been nullified, no history is given of Cupid, bows and arrows, and Roman Catholicism, and there's no reference given to the place of Africans in the celebration. Valentine's Day. There's much more to it, but I'm just going through it. Page 202 in my book, Recapturing the African Mind. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Now, this one, before I read about it, brothers and sisters, I'm going to have to revisit this because, as you all have heard me say on many of these programs, I'm doing quite a bit of research in the area of the British Isles, which many of our scholars have not taken us into, meaning Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and England, and St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. African and African-American adults and children wear green on this day. Elementary school classrooms display green shamrocks on bulletin boards and in halls, and oftentimes those who do not comply are pinched. Y'all remember being pinched if you didn't wear green. You know what I'm talking about. On this particular day, people of African descent are immersed in Irish culture. Now, this is another thing about knowledge, brothers and sisters. Knowledge is forever growing and evolving. It's forever growing and evolving. Some of the knowledge of the St. Patrick's Day and Irish culture was already here, but we were not given that. Now, I have found out since I wrote this book, most recently, that in many of the islands, at least one, for example, probably others, Montserrat, I think the island is. Long story short, black people were celebrating St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick before coming to America. That's another story. Won't get into it right now for another time. We get so much here that we don't have time. Next holiday, Easter. As mentioned earlier, the celebration of the pagan festival of Easter is an example of the destruction of the African mind. The influences from church and school are seen and heard throughout the African community. Listed below are some examples. Number one, in classrooms, hallways, cafeterias, and throughout public buildings, and even on African-American college campuses, bunny rabbits, baby chicks, and baskets are on display. Number two, Easter plays and recitations of Easter poems and songs are held in church and schools. Number three, church sermons by African-American ministers are delivered to congregations containing people, many of whom have bought new clothes and some of whom are attending church for the first and only time of the year on Easter. Then the fourth one I talk about here are some examples. Dozens upon dozens of eggs are bought, boiled, and dyed to be hidden on Easter Monday, for African-American children and adults. Okay, then I go on and I talk about the 4th of July, where you, and I ask the question. I'm kind of moving a little quickly now because I want to hear from some of our callers and some of our Slido people and some people on the phone. But 4th of July, African-Americans celebrate the independence of America as though America's independence meant their independence. Celebrations include fireworks, flag displays, singing patriotic songs, parades, and et cetera. The same genuine feelings that white Americans have for America are felt by black Americans. And that tells you something right there. I want to repeat that statement. The same genuine feelings that white Americans have for America are felt by black Americans. That's a problem there. Anytime you have the same feelings for your conqueror and your colonizer that he does, there's a problem there, brothers and sisters. Then I talk about Halloween, October 31st. Then if they don't, I'm going through all the holidays that we said throughout the year. Then after October 31st, November, Thanksgiving. I just talked about Thanksgiving. I talked about here in my book on page 204, and I remember very clearly as a little boy in school, our teachers would pass out, what color would it be? I think a brown construction paper. And I put my hand on that construction paper, little young brother Bruce Bridges. I put my hand and open, spread my four fingers and my thumb out and take my pen or my pencil or my magic marker and trace my hand and then cut it out. And I had a turkey for Thanksgiving. I was being indoctrinated, brothers and sisters. You were being indoctrinated, but we didn't know. It's time for us to begin to wake up and to know what's going on around us and to understand that we have been tricked as a people. Now, thanks taken. Look it up on your own. December 25th. The effects of mind destruction are extremely apparent during the Christmas season. Listed are a few examples. Number one example of mind destruction is a belief in the 25th birth date. Now, let me talk on that one for a minute. 25th birth date cannot be substantiated anywhere. It's not in any Bibles, any history books, any literature books, or nowhere. The only thing that we can substantiate that is born on December 25th is the sun, and that's the S-U-N sun, the sun in the sky. The sun in the sky is born on December 25th. If you study, brothers and sisters, you will find that around December 21st is the first date of what is called the winter solstice. And I'm going to spell that because I know some of y'all are going to follow up, and you're good students. You want to check me out and check yourself out and go a little further. But December 21st is the first date of the winter solstice. And that word solstice, before I define it, is spelled S-O-L-S-T-I-C-E, solstice. Again, S-O-L-S-T-I-C-E. December 25th is the first date of the winter solstice. And the solstice, if you break that word up, you see two words in that word solstice. You see S-O-L, sol, which is the sun. Stis, S-T-I-C-E, comes from the Latin word sistera, which means to stand still. So around December 21st, it appeared to people in the earth, the southern hemisphere, it appeared that the sun was standing still. And why did they say, Dr. Bridges, that the sun was standing still? They said that because around December 21st, the days began to get noticeably longer, and the days began to get noticeably shorter, pardon me, around this time of the year. The days are getting shorter, pardon me. Of course, days are getting shorter. And the nights are longer in this particular part of the year. So the sun seems to be standing still because when it gets dark so early during this time of the year for us, this darkness lasts such a long time that we feel that the sun is standing still. That's the winter solstice. Now, the summer solstice, which is June 21st, just the opposite thing happens. The days begin to get longer, and the nights begin to get shorter. But either way, the sun begins to seem, the sun looks as if it's standing still. Standing still to be a longer day in the summertime, and standing still to be a shorter day in the wintertime, the winter and summer solstice. And I'll never forget, I used to teach this when I was teaching a class in geography, and I was called in by my chairman. And my chairman called me in because he said that one of my students, after I left class and taught on this, as we were about to get out for the Christmas holidays, trying to give them some knowledge, trying to give them some information, but it was not appreciated. A student went into my chairman's office complaining about the fact that I had told them that December 25th birth date was not the birth date of the man named Jesus, said that I told them that Christmas trees were of German origin, and I told them that Christmas is a holiday they learned about when coming to America. And so I went to my office after class, sat down, heard the phone ring. That's before there were cell phones. Phone rang. I picked up the receiver on my phone on my desk. My chairman was on other end. He said, "Dr. Bridges, come down to my office." I said, "Yes, sir. I'm on the way." So I walked down the hall to the office. He had an open door policy. So I walked in, sat in front of his desk, and he said, "Get up and close the door." I knew then something was coming. He said, "Close the door." So I got up and closed the door, came back and sat down. He explained to me that one of my students had complained about the fact that I said that Christmas was something that we had learned on the plantations of America, and that I had talked about, if you saw Roots, that's when Roots was out, and how Kunta Kinte had to ask Fiddler. Kunta Kinte, who was born in Africa, had to ask Fiddler, who was born on the plantation, what was Christmas, because Kunta Kinte knew nothing about Christmas. A Fiddler knew about it because he had that plantation mentality, you see. So I'd gone into that. So my chairman said, asked me, he said, "Did you say that?" I said, "Yes, sir." And moreover, and I told him about some more things I said. And I'll never forget these five words, brothers and sisters. He said, "You are teaching too much." I'll never forget that. And when he said that to me, I went back to my office, and I taught for the end, taught the next semester to the end of the year, which I had to because I was under contract. But there was no contract for me after that because I was teaching too much. So, brothers and sisters, to relate this back to Brother Ibrahim Traore and the colonialism in West Africa, he made the statement that our African leaders have to stop being puppets for the West. In the same, I know what I'm doing now. I'm relating this to what happened to me. My chairman of my department was a puppet for this system because I was trying to educate our students, but he, being a puppet, condemned me for it and did not give me a contract for the next year, and I was not allowed to teach. Cut me off. But then I went to another school and started teaching at another school, and it actually worked out for the better. Won't get into that right now. But I was able to start teaching African history at the other school, whereas at the school where I was dismissed, North Carolina Central University, I was dismissed. It was because of what I was teaching in the class of geography. I was in the geography department. But, however, just to show you how, when we have the minds of our conquerors or our colonizers, we will always work in their behalf. And we have, as people, have got to stop working on behalf of our colonizers. Anytime you can give a brother or a sister a break or help them out or push them forward, then you should do that. We don't do enough of that due to jealousy and other things that we have going on in our communities. We just don't do that. Envy and jealousy, false pride, all kinds of things keeps us from helping each other. And I'm not going into all of it now, but I'm definitely a recipient of some of these kinds of puppet type attitudes placed upon me all of my life, because all of my life I tried to do what I could to help uplift our people. You see, so that's when you put yourself in that particular predicament. People, they forget in the city that I live in now, Durham, North Carolina, people really forget how it is that they know what they know. They forget, as Brother Howard Fuller used to tell us, Stokely Carmichael, when we used to sit in their classes, they would always say, don't forget the bridge that brought you across. And I'm saying that to you all, and I'm going to shut up for a minute because I want to hear from some callers for at least a few minutes, and Brother Marvin can go through them real quick because I want to hear from all of them if we can, at least to give them 10 seconds or whatever, and I hope you got something out of this, and I could go on, but I just want to just stop, and I hope that you have gotten something out of what I had to say. Brother Marvin, I'll give it back to you. Talk for a minute or so because I'm getting a little tired, and back to you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Again, it's our online classroom. I hope you learned something today. Knowledge is power. It's in your hands now. Actually, it's in your mind. If you use it, guess what? We grow. We change. 845-277-9250 is the call-in number. Slido is active today. 1-619-536. Slido. Go ahead. What'd you say, Dr. Bruce?
I said, let's go. Let's hear from them what they're talking about, brother.
Get all the rest of the stuff out, brother, so I get all of them in. All right. Let's go on down into the call-in lines. 3347, 919-3347. I'm going through the list. If you on here, I'm calling on you. 3347, Dr. Bruce wants to hear from you. Welcome to the show. If you have a question or comment.
Say something, brother. At least tell me that you're listening and that you're learning. Say something, please, when Brother Marvin calls on you. Say something. Don't say nothing. Say something.
Let's keep it moving. All right, let's go on down to 919-6511. 919-6511. You're next. You have a question, comment, statement for Dr. Bruce. All right, guess they're listening today. All right, let's go to 252.
Seems like
252.
Brother Mom, they won't even tell me Merry Christmas.
Okay. They're here to listen and learn. They're here to listen to you, Dr. Bruce. All right, 252. 2112. Question or comment?
No, I don't have any comments.
All right, thank you for listening. All right.
That's right. That's good to hear. I like that. At least he said I don't have any comments. At least we heard somebody. I appreciate that. I'm going to stop being on the program.
06.
Don't
let them stop you, Dr. Bruce. 804-0675. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment? 919-9592. 919-4592. Do you have a question, comment, a statement? As we go through the lines,
I just got in there and caught the end of Dr. Bridges' comments. And I think he was talking about Eurocentric holidays, and I came in right on the end. But I just wanted to say that I was enjoying that.
Well, and Brother Marvin, let him know he can go back, as he probably knows, and hear the whole program. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I definitely plan to do that.
In the archives, we got plenty of material, plenty, plenty, and a lot of it is Dr. Bruce. All right.
Yes, sir.
Let's go over to Slido, Dr. Bruce. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening, brothers and sisters. Let's go over to Slido. Here it is for you, Dr. Bruce. How do we recapture the African minds with our people being bombarded with technology and commercialism?
One thing, well, a couple of things we can do. Technology, if we are any way involved in the technology and commercialism, I'm glad somebody asked that question because I think about Facebook all the time. If you're on Facebook, some of this information that we're given, put some of this information out on Facebook. I know y'all put some of everything on Facebook, but put some of this on Facebook. Also, put the phone number for Brother Marvin's show on Facebook, let people know where you got it so they can start tuning in. Use the social media for your own benefit. Email people, let them know about this program. Tell people about it to tune in and pass the information on. Talk to your preachers, your pastors in church. Ask them, if they're going to talk about some of these things, you see, and definitely your teachers, if you go to school anywhere, ask your teachers some questions and cause it. You're going to get some repercussions now. There will be repercussions. Believe me, I'm telling you, but that's what you have to do. Anytime you're in a struggle or in a revolt against white supremacy or against evil, lies, and falsehood, and that's what we're really dealing with. We're fighting against, as Bob Bonner says, we don't come to fight flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high and low places. we're fighting spiritual wickedness, you see. So we have to keep fighting spiritual wickedness. Okay, Brother Marvin, I don't want to talk another, give another lecture.
All right. That's all right. That's what we're here for. You went deep that time. All right. Here's the next slide, though. Teaching and preaching from the Afrocentric perspective is good, but how do they teach it and preach it if they don't know it?
They cannot. Good point. They cannot. That's why it's up to us to help them know it. If a person is walking on a cane or a crutch or a walker across the street, they need help. They on a crutch. One of their legs or both of their legs is not working properly, or their back not working properly. Help them across the street. Our minds are not working properly. We're crippled in our thinking as we are in our legs. Our legs have been broken. So we need to give our people some help so that they can begin to stand up and walk on their own. And I'm talking about that now on a mental level in the same way that you help people on a physical level. It's the same thing.
All right. Amen to that. All right, back to Slido. How would you suggest we recapture the African mind beginning in the home?
Beginning in the home, I think that people could, if they do a lot of YouTube, they could watch a lot of programs on YouTube that could pull up. Also, of course, books are important. And when young people are on computers, they could be, as a matter of fact, my phone, before I got with you today, Brother Marvin, I was hoping this program would come out okay, because I wasn't even looking for information for this program. But I was over in Edinburgh, Brother Tim. I was over in Edinburgh, Scotland, or Glasgow, or Ulster, or somewhere. I was over there. But anyway, these phones are computers. We can really just pull up, and you can just speak it into Google and start reading. See, it's easier now, brothers and sisters, to get this information. Much easier than it used to be. There was times that books were banned in this country. There were books that I have myself that say on the inside, that's stamped, not to be sold in the USA. They did not want us to have certain kinds of information. So nowadays, though, as I've said so many times, access to knowledge is much easier. You can go to archives.org. You can read books that you don't have to go all across the Atlantic Ocean to the Louvre Museum in Paris. Or you don't have to go to any museums in Rome, Italy, or anywhere. You can bring it right to your bedroom, right to your kitchen, right to your office, right to your den or your living room, and read things that you could not ordinarily put your hands on. And believe me, brothers and sisters, there is so much that we have not been exposed to. We've never been exposed to the types of chemicals and color components that they have put together to whiten the pictures of many of the royals of Europe in the area of Spain and Portugal and Germany, and the kings that sat on the thrones in France, the Medici family. We have not been able to get to those pictures, but they have these pictures hidden in their vaults and all over Europe. And many of them you can get to by going to the National Portrait Gallery and seeing exactly how the black man, King James, looked like, who authorized the Bible. The black man, King James, with the afro, you see, who was the King James the first of England, and King James sixth of England, and King James the first of Scotland, and who his mama and who his daddy was, and how those people can be traced all the way back to the Twa people of Africa, who, as Godfrey Higgins talked about, had traveled from East Africa and became Hebrews and went across into England and Scotland and Ireland. And brothers, I'm through, brother. Mom. Go to the line, wherever you want to go.
All right, I'm going over to the lines. I'm going to Brother Lush, 0148. Brother Lush, do you have a question, comment, or statement for Dr. Bruce?
Brother Lush, I know you're there. Talk to me, Brother Lush. Maybe he's called me a few days.
I guess he's listening today.
Okay, but normally he'll say something. I hope he's all right. Though less about he's not. Yeah. He'll usually say I'm listening and learning. But okay, Brother Mom, go ahead.
All right. Let's go back to Slido. Here's the question, and from this question, I'm going over to Brother Ridge. How do we manage the puppets or the house people that hold us back? And you mentioned those puppets in your lecture. How do we manage those puppets or those house people? As Brother Booker would say, those house N words, but I won't use that today because Mama's listening.
Okay, Mama, that's good. You know, Brother Marvin, I really, and I'm being quite honest, and I don't know who's listening on this phone, because we all have cell phones and people can listen to your conversations. We know that. To deal with these puppets and Uncle Toms, after what we've been through on the plantations of America, on the plantations of Cuba and Jamaica and Guadeloupe and Panama and the plantations of Brazil and the plantations of colonial Africa, after all we've been through, the way that we deal with them, Brother Marvin, I don't have the power to deal with them the way I would deal with them if I was in power. I'm just going to leave it like that. Because it's disheartening, it's hurtful when you see all this information. And then I think back a lot, Brother Marvin, and I got a good friend who I think he's listening now. We talk a lot. And I look back on my education, and then I'm learning today. I say, wait a minute. We didn't get any of this. And not just me, you, Brother George, all of us. Same thing. We didn't get any of this. It's a shame. And I'm not blaming our teachers. I'm not blaming our preachers, because we did not have access to a lot of this information. But in today's time, brothers and sisters, if you are a puppet or an Uncle Tom, we need some people to deal with you.
All right, let's go over to Brother Reg. We had this conversation earlier, so this would be a great time to segue over to him. Brother Reg, what do you think about the question? How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself, Doug, bro?
All right, doing well, doing well.
Remember we said today, information is the key to all of it. And Brother Bruce laid down a whole lot of it today for us. Brother Bruce, you just kind of wound up with one of the main things, but how we deal with the people that's kind of like interfering with a lot of the information that we really need. So, again, I want you to expound upon that, though, because that is what Brother Marvin and I were talking about a little earlier today. We have to reinvigorate in our communities and in our minds and homes and in our spirit a new way of dealing with the information that we put out, because what you did was gave information that we got to have rather than the information that we have had. So what are we going to do? I'm going to ask that again. I know you didn't want to get too deep, but in the few minutes you got left, let's throw that out there. What can we do? Start from A, B, C. What can we do to recapture that, you know, this new information, opening up our pineal gland to what we got to really do?
A great question, Brother Rich. What you got, Dr. Bruce?
I just can't say that. My way of dealing with Brother Rich is we can't talk about it on the phone. Please respect me and let me leave it at that. You and I can talk about it in person. But my way of doing it, you can't talk about it on this program.
Okay. Well, because, Brother Marv, because, I hope we can get to have a good show to really talk about the actual implementation of what we got to really do from the working part. Like you and I were talking about how we have new agendas for our community. I hope we get a chance to really do that then, Brother.
Yeah,
so there is a way that we got to get to work to do it out here. And as you know, I've been to work at it in the community. So when we get a chance, we're going to share it with the communities out here. Okay?
And you know, one thing about a lot of our people, they're so hard-headed. But anyway, go ahead, Brother Marlon. I'm about ready to wind up for today. I hope you all got something
all right
out of my little piece.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bruce. Brother Reg, we're trying to wrap up a little bit on that question. I think, again, it's education, right? And I see our people as handicapped, and you kind of mentioned that, Dr. Bruce, deficient in some areas. And knowledge is power, right? So we have to educate our people from their state of deficiency, right, of lack of knowledge and lack of understanding and lack of awareness to a more broader understanding of where we are and where we came from and how we were indoctrinated and how those strategies have been put in place to divide us, right, to manipulate us, to pay some people to make certain decisions and choices. And we have to have that conversation. But I think, again,
now you're putting it
that
up,
part
that's
of the
right
peace concept, it's education, right, continued education. And that's why we do what we do, is to continue to put information out there for our people to consider and think about. Like I said earlier in the show, don't get mad, right? And if you get mad, it's okay. But just try to get understanding, try to get knowledge,
that's
try
right
to get wisdom, because we have to educate ourselves in order to educate our next generation if we truly
that's
want
right
to be free mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and culturally. All right, we got about a little under 3 minutes left. So I'll give final, thank you, Brother Reg. I'll get final comments from you, Dr. Bruce, and then we'll wrap it up for today.
All right, Brother Marvin, and to those who are tuned in, as I said before, I really do try hard to put it out there and to give my people information as best I can. And I hope that people did learn something, and I hope that they'll be granted with the wisdom to understand what it is I was saying, and to try to not only just gain the information and to understand it, but more importantly, begin to put some of this information into practice, because just theory without practice is really of no benefit, you see. So when I give out this information, I'm not just giving it to be giving information, but I want you to be able to try to use it. Spread it on to your friends, to your relatives. Tell them to listen to Brother Marvin's program, and call people and put it on Facebook. Send out emails. Do these kind of things that will wake our people up, you see. And that's one way that we can do some of the things that Brother Reggie was talking about. But thank you very much, Brother Mark, for the opportunity to be a part of your program. And hopefully I'll be back again sometime in the future.
Dr. Bruce, thank you. Hopefully we'll find you the first week of January so we can talk about the new year and educate our people on how we can improve for 24.
Sounds good.
Take care of yourself, brother. All right. So we're wrapping up another show today. It's, again, positive, right? A developmental process of educating ourselves on learning more. We got an online classroom that you can educate yourself. All you have to do is sit and listen, take notes, do the research, and then qualify the information for yourself, right? And again, I am clear that we are not against anybody, but we are for each other. And the more that we can be for each other, the more that we can grow each other. It is plain and simple now. The work has to be done on our parts, not to separate, not to divide, but to come together in unity right where we are. The condition will divide us. But with love, faith, and unity, and a little more hope, we can begin to be a little more patient, a little bit more understanding, and a lot more centric. Replicate the design that our ancestors created that will get us out of the mindset that we're in, where we'll help each other, help ourselves.
The work has to be done by us. We got a lot of work to do, but it's up to you and me to get that work done. It's Empowerment 365, 365 days. Motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Have a great week.
The world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with scars, still strong.